कृष्णा श्री चैतन्य चरितामृता चैप्टर 5 वर्स 42 ऑन वर्स 5 हिज ग्रेस राधे का ऑल ऑफ प्रभु
विशांक
कविराज गोस्वामी इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द एक्सप्लेनिंग द वर्सेस 7 टू 11 ऑफ आदिलीला Verses 7 to 11, these five verses are about Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So that seventh verse is Sankarshana Karana Toya Shai. Lord Nityananda, I offer my obeisance to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Who is the source of Sankarshan, Karanodakshai Vishnu, Garbodakshai Vishnu, Kshirodakshai Vishnu and Shesha. And then the next four verses, they just explain this particular verse. Next four Sanskrit verses are explaining, they are composed by Kaviraj Goswami, they are actually composed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, that to explain this particular verse. The next four verses basically describe, the first verse describes that how Sankarshan, the source of Sankarshan is Nityananda Prabhu. I offer my obeisance to Lord Nityananda, whose actually Amsha is Sankarshan, that is the 8th verse. The 9th verse is about Karanodakshai Vishnu. I offer my obeisance to Lord Nityananda, whose Amsha is Karanodakshai Vishnu, who is lying in the Karana ocean, and who is the source of all the universes. And then the 10th verse is about Garbodakshai Vishnu. I offer my obeisance to Lord Nityananda, whose Amsha is Garbodakshai Vishnu, who is lying in the Garbodaka ocean, and who is the maintainer of each universe. Is the maintainer, who is actually the source of this particular universe, and from whose navel Lord Brahma took birth. And then the 11th verse describes Shirodakshai Vishnu and as well as Shesha. I offer my obeisance to Lord Nityananda, whose Amsha is Shirodakshai Vishnu and Shesha. So far we have been described, we are discussing the explanation of Kaviraj Goswami on the 8th verse. 8th verse is how our Sankarshan, is an Amsha of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So, in yesterday's verse, yesterday we saw that how it's explained that first Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Sankarshan is in the spiritual realm. First, Kaviraj Goswami explains what is Paravyoma. And then after describing Paravyoma, he says in Paravyoma, there are many spiritual planets. But the topmost region in the Paravyoma is the Krishna Loka. And Krishna Loka has three divisions. Gokul, Mathura and Dwarka. And then he says, so Gokul is the topmost among the Krishna Loka. And then he explains that how Krishna performs different pastimes in different forms in the spiritual realm. So in Gokul, Mathura, Vrindavan and Dwaraka, Krishna performs pastimes in his own form, in Mathura, Dwaraka and Vrindavan. But in other Vaikuntha planets, Krishna performs pastimes in the form of Narayana. Narayan has four hands, whereas Krishna has two hands. And then, having explained that, Kaviraj Goswami says, but outside the Vaikuntha planets is what is called as the region of the Brahma Jyoti or the Siddha Loka. Siddha Loka is nothing but the spiritual realm which is outside the Vaikuntha planets. The whole the space, Brahma Jyoti, that is also called a Siddha Loka, and that Siddha Loka is beyond material nature and it is spiritual but without any varieties. Its essence is spiritual but without varieties, and it is compared to the effulgence of the sun, where the spiritual planets are compared to the sun itself, the planet sun. And then he explains that in the spiritual realm, on the four sides of Lord Narayan are the second quadruple expansion. second Chaturvyuha. And then he says, in that second Chaturvyuha, this Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they are all completely transcendental. They are Turiya and they are in Vishuddha Sattva. They are actually completely in a transcendental platform. So there, so in that, in regards to that, in regarding that, Prabhupada, in his purport, he actually refutes the interpretation of Shankaracharya in the Vedanta Sutra 2.2.42 to 45. Shankaracharya basically gives an interpretation in which he says that Sankarshan is a jiva, is a living entity. So he gives different arguments how Sankarshan is a living entity and how can there can be four different personalities of Godhead. There should be only one personality of Godhead. How can there be four personalities of Godhead? And then, so like that he gives different arguments. What other arguments he gives yesterday, sir? He gave eight arguments. He said that how, if when Sankarshan, his interpretation of Sankarshan is a jiva, then he said like how can, when Sankarshan is produced from Vasudev, that means like jiva is produced from material nature. But if it is, if it jiva is produced from material nature, that means like jiva is non-eternal. How can jiva be non-eternal? So like that he is raising all these points. So basically he is actually... So he actually interprets that Vasudev is actually is nothing but material nature and Sankarshan is nothing but jiva and Pradyumna is nothing but intelligence and Aniruddha is nothing but mind. And so he interprets the verses Sankarshan appears from Vasudev, that means like jiva is produced from material nature, like that he interprets. So he is saying, if jiva is produced from material nature, how can jiva be non-eternal? Like that, giving different arguments. So then, Prabhupada in his purport, he refutes these arguments based on Rupa Goswami's explanation in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami explains how this Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they are actually spiritual, they are actually Vishnu Tattvas, they are not material nature or living entities. They are actually spiritual. And he gives the description, the complexion of each of these personalities. And then he says how they are actually by inconceivable potencies the Lord can expand in different forms. And all are actually expand in different forms. And all these personalities are actually simultaneously one at the same time different. So you say just like a jewel. Jewel can, Vaidurya jewel, it can actually manifest different colors. Even an ordinary material object in this world, it's a Vaidurya gem, it can actually manifest different colors. So similarly, the same personality of Godhead, he expands into different forms as Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, but all are actually same. So in this way, Prabhupada refutes based on Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita and he also quotes Shripa Shankaracharya's explanation of Vedanta Sutra called as Sri Bhashya commentary, how he refutes Ramanujacharya Sri Bhashya commentary and Vedanta Sutra. So we somewhat saw that.
He wants to prove ultimately that everyone is Narayan, everyone is like everything is one. But from these arguments, it seems that he is trying to say that Narayan, there is one Narayan, there cannot be many gods, there is one God, and then he's accepting that Sankarshan is Jiva, so he is kind of accepting Jiva also separately and Narayan also separately.
So here, actually, if you read in the beginning of the purport, so Shankaracharya, Prabhupada is writing that Shankaracharya agrees with the understanding of the devotee that Narayan is actually beyond the material realm. He agrees with that part of the understanding of the devotees. And what he disagrees is that Sankarshan is also Vishnu Tattva. He disagrees, he interprets by saying Sankarshan is a living entity. But in this part of the here he is actually interpreting like this. Of course, that Mahavakya, Laguvakya, there he says that ultimately Tattvamasi, you are actually one with the Brahman. Soham, I am actually living entity is actually one with Brahman. There he interprets like that. But here what he is interpreting is that he is agreeing with the understanding that Narayan is actually beyond the spiritual realm. But he is disagreeing with the understanding that Sankarshan is also belongs to Vishnu Tattva. He says Sankarshan is a living entity. So the whole argument is here, the essence of his interpretation is that he is actually bringing Sankarshan to the level of a jiva. So we see, like as you mentioned, Mayavad means basically two things. Either you take the living entity to the level of the Supreme Lord, or you bring the Supreme Lord to the level of a living entity. So here what he is doing is that he is bringing the Supreme Lord, Sankarshan, to the level of a living entity. So this aspect of Mayavad is interpreting here. That is the essence of his argument. He is bringing the Supreme Lord to the level of a living entity. That is why all these quotations which Prabhupada quotes, which actually talk about the position of this quadruple, how they are actually spiritual, and how they have inconceivable potencies by which they can actually expand in so many forms, and all these forms are actually having the same potency. So all the quotations are they are trying to prove the transcendental position of this quadruples here, because here the main interpretation which is saying, like, he is bringing the Supreme Lord to the position of a living entity. When in some other places, for example, those Mahavakyas, other places, when he gives different quotations to show about the oneness of the living entity with the Supreme Lord, so there we have to argue the Mayavadis by giving the quotations how the living entity is actually eternally servant of the Lord, eternally and Amai Vamsho Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha, eternally and Amsha the Supreme Lord. So there we have to give those quotations. So like that. So actually this chapter, it might seem actually why is elaborately describing about this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Karanodakshaya Vishnu. So this chapter is a little highly like philosophical, it may seem like very dry. They are just talking about the tattva of these personalities. But actually, when we truly understand the position of Nityananda Prabhu, then when we actually hear his pastimes, then we can actually appreciate those pastimes. Because we see this Nityananda Prabhu, who is the source of Sankarshan, and whose Amsha is Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is coming from Sankarshan. And whose Amsha is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Mahavishnu explains as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu explains as Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And Shirodakshaya Vishnu expands as Sheshanaga. So when we understand the power of even Sheshanaga is the Amsha of the Amsha of the Amsha of the Amsha of Nityananda Prabhu. And that Sheshanaga is actually holding all these universes, and he does not even feel that universes are existing on his head only. Because he doesn't even feel the weight of that. All these universes are like a bag of mustard seeds on his head. So when we understand the greatness of these personalities, and these personalities are the amshas of Nityananda Prabhu, And then when we hear that Nityananda Prabhu was going to common people and acting like a beggar and pleading with different people to take the name of Lord Chaitanya and to take the name of Lord Gauranga. And that Nityananda Prabhu, when Jagai Madai, when they actually threw stones at Nityananda Prabhu, he did not even become angry with them. He was actually again pleading with them to actually take shelter of Lord Gauranga. So then when we hear this particular pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu, then we can actually truly relate. Because usually in this world, if somebody is like very great, very powerful, very influential, so we never see such a person acting like a beggar and pleading with other people. So usually when a person is highly powerful, highly influential, highly wealthy, so there's so much of ego associated with such a person. So much of ego associated with the person. Such a person never acts like a common person or a beggar. But here Nityananda Prabhu, who is the source of Sankarshan, Garbhodaksha, Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu and Sheshanaga, he is acting like a beggar and going to different people and asking them to chant the name of Lord Gauranga. So that shows that how even such a great personality like Nityananda Prabhu, he is taking great pleasure, he is finding more pleasure in being the servant of Lord Chaitanya. So Chaitanya Leela is such that like even God himself is actually wanting to, he is finding more pleasure in being the servant of himself. So even such great personalities like Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, is Mahavishnu and Sadashiva combined. So they are finding greater pleasure in being the servant and Lord Chaitanya himself. So one class Jananivasrabhu was saying that, like we talk about we are not the body, we are the soul. The first teaching of the Gita. So Jananivasrabhu was saying that actually it does not matter whether you identify yourself with the body or the mind or intelligence. Whatever it may be. It doesn't matter if you identify yourself with the body. If you think you are the body, okay, you are the body, but use the body in the service of Lord Chaitanya. If you think you are the mind, it's all right. But use the mind in the service of Lord Chaitanya. So like that was. So whatever it may be, but whether you are the body or the mind or intelligence, whatever it is, all right. But you are actually the servant of Lord Chaitanya. So we can see that such a great personality is like Nityananda Prabhu. So when we hear, when we patiently understand this tattva, when we meditate upon this position of Nityananda Prabhu, who is Nityananda Prabhu? Then when we hear his pastimes, then we can actually truly appreciate the pastimes after understanding the tattva, Nityananda tattva. That is why Kaviraj Goswami is explaining in great detail the Adi Leela before even beginning the Mahaprabhu's appearance and his childhood pastimes about this Pancha Tattva, who are these personalities. So we will go to the 42nd verse. ताहा ये रामेर रूप महासंकर्षण चित्शक्ति आर्थयति हो कारणेर कारण
there in the spiritual sky personal future of Balaram called Mahasankarshan is the shelter of this spiritual energy. He is the primary cause, the cause of all causes.
So he is basically this Sankarshan is also called as Mahasankarshan. The Sankarshan, the second quadruple. He is the prime cause and the cause of all causes. Chit Shakti Vilasa Yeka Shuddha Sattva Nama Shuddha Sattva Maya Yata Vaikuntha Ridama.
One variety of the pastimes of the spiritual energy is described as pure goodness. It comprises all the abodes of Vaikuntha.
So now, basically, till 49th verse, he is explaining about this about this Sankarshan, this second Mahasankarshan, other Sankarshan, the second quadruple. What is his nature? From 41 to 49. 41, he actually talks about the second quadruple. And especially from 42 to 49, he is talking about this Sankarshan. षड्विधैश्वर्यतः सकलचिन्मय संकर्षणेर विभूति सब जानिह निश्चय.
Six attributes are all special, known for certain that they are all manifestations of the opulence of Sankarshan.
जीवनाम तटस्ताक्य एक शक्ति हय महासंकर्षण सब जीवेर आश्रय.
There is one marginal potency known as the jiva. Mahasankarshan is the shelter of all jivas.
So basically, to summarize what is explained in this seven verses is that Mahasankarshan is the shelter of spiritual energy. He is the cause of all causes. And the six. This Sankarshan is also called as Mahasankarshan. Previous, what you were saying? Previously?
Previous second quadruple expansion.
Yeah.
Previously,
Sankarshan, the
first quadruple expansion.
So
that he is the
center of all. Yeah, in this sense, we can say, on the same, because he is the. Like from him comes Narayan, from Narayan comes the second quadruple, like that. So in that sense, the source and the later parts, they can all, in that sense, they can be considered same actually. You will see later at the end of the description, you will say, Kaviraj Goswami will say that the Sesha, after the Sankarshan, the three Vishnus and Chirodakshaya Vishnu's expansion is Seshanaga. So Seshanaga, another name is called Ananta. So sometimes Kaviraj Goswami says this Lord Nityananda is called as Ananta. Some people say Lord Nityananda is called as Ananta. But actually Seshanaga is the Amsha of Chirodakshaya Vishnu. Who is the Amsha of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu? And who is the Amsha of Karunodakshaya Vishnu? Who is the Amsha of Sankarshan? And that Sankarshan is the Amsha of Balramji or Nityananda Prabhu. But sometimes people call the Seshanaga or Ananta is actually not Lord Nityananda. So some people say like that. So Kaviraj Goswami says it is not wrong. So because the source and the later expansion, they are actually one and same. So he says at the end, like just like sometimes people say that Lord Krishna, some people say Lord Krishna is Vamanadev, Lord Krishna appears as Naranarayan. Or Krishna is an incarnation of Naranarayan, Krishna is an incarnation of Vamanadev. They say like this. So in one sense, actually the truth is Krishna is the source of all these Narayan everything. But still, it is also nothing, it's not wrong in saying that. So even if somebody says that Krishna has appeared as Vamanadev or Vamanadev has appeared as Krishna, there's nothing wrong. Because from the point of from the Vishnu Tattva, all these are Vishnu Tattva, they are one sense, they are same. So we can say this Sankarshan is the shelter of all the jivas. You see, even that first quadruple Sankarshan, that's all the shelter of all the jivas. But this Sankarshan, the Sankarshan in the second quadruple, his Amsha is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Karunodakshaya Vishnu. And this Karunodakshaya Vishnu is in contact with the material energy. He actually glances upon the material energy. But the previous Vishnu Tattvas, they are not in touch with the material energy. So this, in 42 to 49 verse, what Kaviraj Goswami explains about the Mahasankarshan is that Mahasankarshan is the shelter of spiritual energy. He is the cause of all causes. And he has six spiritual opulences. The six spiritual opulences are manifestations of his opulence. And he is the shelter of all the jivas. So in that sense he is called as Jiva, but actually he is not, literally he is not a living entity. He is a shelter of all the Jivas and he is the original shelter of the Purusha. Who is the Purusha which is being referred to here? Mahavishnu. He is the original shelter of Mahavishnu. And he is the shelter of everything and he is wonderful in every respect. His opulence are infinite and even Ananta cannot describe his glory. So 46 verse. Introduction. Third paragraph. In Krishna Loka is a transcendental place. Okay. The personality according to Balram in Krishna Loka is the original Sankarshan. And from this Sankarshan expands another Sankarshan called Mahasankarshan.
Verse number 8.
Yeah. Yeah, the Balramji is calling a Sankarshan and from him expands the second Sankarshan. Second quadruple expansion. And this Sankarshan, the second quadruple expansion is called as Mahasankarshan. Balramji is considered the first Sankarshan.
सर्वाश्रय
सर्वाद्भुत ऐश्वर्य अपार अनंत कहिते नारे महिमा यहार. तुरीय विशुद्ध सत्व संकर्षण नाम दिगो यान्द्र अंश से नित्यानंद राम.
That Sankarshana who is transcendental, pure goodness, is a partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram.
Ashtama shlokera kaila sankshepe vivarana, navama shlokera artha shunadiyamana. So, he has now completed the description of the 8th verse in which he says that Sankarshan is an expansion of Balramji, the Mahasankarshan expansion of Balram. Now the 9th verse. Maya Bharta Janda Sangashrayanga Shete Sakshat Karanam Bodhi Madhye. Yes, yai kamsha shri pumanadi devas tam shri nityananda ram prapadye.
I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of shri nityananda ram, whose partial representation called karnadakshayi vishnu lying on the karna ocean is the original purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all the universes.
So, tam shri nityananda ramam prapadye. I offer my obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, whose yasyai kamsha, whose amsha is Shri Puman, the original Purusha, or whose partial representation called Karunadakshai Vishnu, he is lying on the Karana ocean. Shete Sakshat Karanam Bodhi Madhye, who is lying on the Karana ocean. And who is the original Purusha? Shri Puman. and who is the Maya Bharta. Maya Bharta means master of illusory energy. And Aja and Sangashrayanga. Aja and Sangha means, Prabhupada translated, the multitude of universes. Ashraya Anga. That means, I offer my voice to Nityananda Prabhu, whose Amsha is Mahavishnu, who is the master of illusory energy, and who is the shelter of the multitude of universes. Aja and Sangha is the multitude of universes. Ashraya Sangha means, who is the Mahavishnu is giving shelter to all these multitude of universes. And that Mahavishnu is the Amsha of Nityananda Prabhu. So now 51 to 54, Kaviraj Goswami gives a description of Karana Ocean. What is the nature of this Karana Ocean? Vaikunta Bhagireye Jyotirmaya Dama Tahara Bhagire Karanarnava Nama. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he basically he writes the points which are explained in many of the future verses by Kaviraj Goswami. So I will just go through the purport. So Prabhupada says, neither Krishna in Golok Vrindavan nor Narayan in the Vaikuntha planets is directly in contact with the material creation. So Krishna is not in contact with the material creation. Even Narayana in Vaikuntha is also not in contact with the material creation. So he says, it is actually the function of Mahasankarshan in the form of Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu, who is actually in contact with the material energy or material creation. So he says that material nature is connected to the personality. How is the material nature connected to the Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu? Through his glands. So only Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu, who is an Amsha Shankar, Mahasankarshan, is in contact with the material energy. And even that material energy or the Maya Shakti is not within the Karana Ocean. Maya Shakti never even touches the causal ocean. So causal ocean itself is so huge. I don't know the size is mentioned. Only the Karana Dakshaya Vishnu is in contact with the material energy through his glands. But when we think, oh, that means like glands means maybe Karana Mahashakti must be there situated in the Karana Ocean. So Karana Dakshaya Vishnu must be glancing over the Maya Shakti. No, Maya Shakti is not in the situated in the Karana Ocean, because the Karana Ocean is actually spiritual. So Maya Shakti never even touches the causal ocean, and she is situated outside the causal ocean, and Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu glances over Maya Shakti from a great distance. He glances over the Maya Shakti, and by his glance is so powerful that although Maya Shakti is situated outside the Karuna Ocean, by his glance he is able to activate the Maya Shakti, and then the universes are emanating from his pores. So this is what he explains in the first three paragraphs. So the glancing power of the Lord agitates the entire cosmic energy, and thus its actions begin at once. So Prabhupada actually gives totally five analogies, but in this purport he gives four analogies. So the four analogies are, the first analogy he says is that, so the Maya Shakti is like a mother or a female, and Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu is like the father. Just like mother on her own, she cannot actually give birth to a child. Only the father inverts his energy upon the mother. Only when the man inverts his energy upon the woman, then the woman can actually give birth to a child. So similarly, Maya Shakti, only when she is empowered by the glance of Mahavishnu, she can actually, she becomes the cause of the material creation. So he says, Prabhupada says that Maya Shakti, material nature, Maya Shakti has got two different phases. So one is the Maya Shakti produce it. She supplies the material ingredients for the cosmic development. And second is, she causes the manifestation of her ingredients. So one is, she supplies the ingredients, and second is that she causes the manifestation of her ingredients. But both these functions can be carried out by Maya Shakti only when she is empowered by the glance of Mahavishnu. So the analogy is that just like when the man invests energy upon the woman, then only the woman can actually give birth to a child. And the second example which Prabhupada gives is that, like iron rod. So iron rod can act like fire only when iron rod actually comes in contact with the fire. So similarly, material energy, the Maya Shakti, becomes the cause of the material world only when she is empowered with a glance of the Supreme Personality of God. And the third example which Prabhupada gives is that potter. Copper and electricity. So a copper wire is not electricity. But when electricity passes through the copper wire, it acts like electricity. So similarly, Maya is empowered by the Supreme Lord. She becomes the cause of the material world. And the fourth example he gives is like potter. So the wheel, clay, and the different tools which the potter uses, they are all compared to the, say, Maya Shakti. They are all compared to the immediate cause. But the direct cause, or the ultimate cause, is the potter, who uses all these things to make the pot. So these are the four analogies. And the fifth analogy is given by Kaviraj Goswami, or by Prabhupada, in the later verse. In verse number 61, it's explained that how, something similar, but the same principle, that the nipples in the neck of a goat, they appear like, we may think, if we actually press these nipples, one may get milk. But actually, if you press the nipples in the neck of a goat, you will not get milk, you will only get frustrated by your attempts. Similarly, a foolish person considers the nipples in the neck of a goat to be the source of milk. So similarly, a foolish person considers that material nature is the cause of the whole universe. But when people think that material nature is the cause of the universe, they will ultimately get only frustrated. Just like a person who is trying to get milk from the nipples on the neck of a goat, he will get frustrated. Similarly, those who think that material nature is the cause of the universe, they will get frustrated. So this is actually nothing but the scientist theory that life comes from chemicals. In the modern world, if you put they say life comes from chemicals. So Prabhupada is elaborately telling that how the material nature is not the cause of the universe. Material nature is only when she is empowered with the glance of the Mahavishnu, then only she becomes the cause. Or another example can be, the source of water is the water tap. But that is just only the immediate cause. But if you go further and further, the source of the water is maybe the water tank stored in the house. But where is that water coming? That is coming from maybe the water tank, or Mumbai municipal tank. And where is that water coming? So if you just trace back, but the ultimate cause is the Supreme Personality of God. Or people say, where is the milk coming from? ordinary child may say milk comes from milk depot. But he just only the immediate cause. But the ultimate cause is actually the cow. So in that sense. So Prabhupada is elaborating this. So therefore the jugglery of science is gradually leading people to a godless civilization at the cost of the goal of human life. Having missed the goal of life, materialists run after self-sufficiency, not knowing that material nature is already self-sufficient by the grace of God, thus creating a colossal hoax in the name of civilization. They create an imbalance in the natural self-sufficiency of material nature. So these, like, they may appear to be just theories like Big Bang theory, Darwin's theory, etc. But these theories, they actually take God from the picture. So inherently what they implant, it actually plants a seed of atheism in the hearts of people. By saying that life comes from ultimately from chemicals, everything was evolved. So here it's explained. So to think that material nature is the cause of the whole cosmic manifestation is actually ignorance. And then Prabhupada mentions, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to dissipate this ignorance. To dissipate this darkness of ignorance by igniting the spark of spiritual life. Yeah, I hope that's covered. Then at the end of the purport, so Prabhupada explains, therefore modern science has created an imperfect godless civilization that is in gross ignorance of the ultimate cause. So scientific advancement should have a great goal to attain, and that great goal should be the personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that after conducting research for many births, great men of knowledge who stress the importance of experimental thought can know the personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Next verse. वैकुंठ बेडिया एक आचे जल निधि अनंत अपार तार नाहिक अवधि.
Surrounding Vaikuntha is a mass of water that is endless, unfathomed and
unending. So this is the nature of Karana ocean. You can imagine like this, such a huge ocean, unfathomed, endless and unending. And outside the Karana ocean is the material energy, and from a great distance Mahavishnu is glancing, and by that glance he is actually activating. Vaikuntera prithviyadi sakala chinmaya mayika bhutera tati janmana hihaya.
Earth, water, fire, air and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. Material elements are not found there.
Chinmaya jala sei parama karana yara eka kana ganga patita pavana.
The water of the Karna ocean, which is the original cause, is therefore spiritual. The sacred Ganges, which is but a drop of it, purifies the fallen souls.
So Ganges, which actually purifies the three worlds, is nothing but a drop of the Karna ocean. So here, he's just explaining what the nature of Karna ocean. So now, the 51st and 55th and 56th verse, Viraj Goswami explains that the plenary portion of Lord Sankarshan, known as Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, lies in the Karana ocean. Seita Karanarnave Sei Sankarshana Apanara Yeka Amshe Karena Shayana. Makat Srashta Purusha Tiho Jagat Karana Adya Avatara Kare Mayaya Ikshana.
He is known as the first Purusha, the creator of the total material energy. He, the father of the universe, the first incarnation, cast his glance over the mind.
So he explains this Maya Shakti in verses 57 to 61. माया शक्ति रहे कारण अवब्धिर बाहिरे कारण समुद्र माया परशिते नारे एंड दिस 58th वर्स डिस्क्राइब्स टू एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ माया सेत माया रदुई विद अवस्थिति जगतेर उपादान प्रदान प्रकृति So Maya has basically two aspects, as I mentioned, that one is that she supplies the ingredients for the cosmic manifestation, and second is that she causes, as the cause of the cosmic manifestation, she is known as Maya, and as the agent supplying the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation, she is known as Pradhana. So Prabhupada quotes two verses. One is from Krishna's, from the Uddhava Gita 24th chapter, verse number 1 to 4, where it is explained that how Maya acts as the cause of the cosmic manifestation and how Maya supplies the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation. And second verse he quotes from Shivajwara's prayers to Lord Krishna during the fight between Krishna and Banasura. Kalo Daivam Karma Jiva Svabhavo Dravyam Kshetram Prana Atma Vikara Tat Sangato Bija Roha Pravagas Tvan Mayaisha Tan Nishedam Prapadye. So this verse tells that what is the ingredient aspect of Maya and what is the causal aspect of Maya. The ingredient aspect of Maya are time, activity, providence and nature. So these four are the causal aspect of Maya. Time, activity, providence and nature, they are the causal aspect of the external energy. The ingredient aspect of external energy is conditioned vital force, that is prana, the subtle material ingredients called dravya and material nature, which is basically kshetra, as well as the 11 senses and 5 elements, which is the 16 ingredients of the body. These are the ingredient aspect of Maya. And the body is generated from activity and activity generated from the body. Just like seed produces a tree and tree comes from a seed. And this reciprocal cause and effect is called Maya. But my dear Lord, only you can save me from the cycle of cause and effect. So therefore I worship your lotus feet. Tvan mayaisha tan nishedam prapadye. Tan nishedam means, Sridhar Swami comments by saying that Krishna is the ultimate limit of negation. Means only by taking shelter of Krishna one can actually come out of the clutches of Maya. Next verse.
Like the statement that in a corner of the spiritual sky, and then there is a cloud. So, like, is the Karavishya part of that cloud, or that cloud is just a material nature? Then the Karavishya.
Karana ocean lies between the spiritual realm and the material realm. I think that's how the description started. Read that. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and beyond that effulgence is the Karana ocean. So Karana ocean is beyond the Vaikuntha loop. Beyond the Vaikuntha Loka is the Brahman effulgence, and beyond that Brahman effulgence, beyond the spiritual realm, is the Karana ocean.
Yeah.
and beyond that is the material realm. So Karana Ocean is like that which is between the spiritual realm and the material realm. But of course, in the later verse it is explained that even in the Karana Ocean also, nothing is material, everything is spiritual. That's also being described. But in that sense, Karana Ocean is also spiritual, but Karana Ocean is beyond the spiritual realm of Brahma Jyoti. That is why, because Karana Ocean is also spiritual, that is why the Maya does not enter the Karana Ocean. She is situated outside the Karana Ocean. Karana Ocean seems like that thing, it's same as Virajata. Next verse. Which verse? Jagat karana nahe prakriti jada rupa shakti sanchari atare krishna kare kripa.
Because prakriti is dull, it cannot actually be because of material one. But Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull inner material nature.
So all these, you'll see, all these verses, they were explained by Prabhupada in the previous purport which I explained. That's why I'm not going to end with Krishna Shakti Prakriti Haya Gauna Karana Agni Shakti Lava Yeche Karaye Jarana.
Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire.
Ata eva Krishna Mula Jagata Karana Prakriti Karana Yeche Ajagalastana.
Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like an impulse on the neck of the goat, but they cannot be removed.
This is the another analogy which Prabhupada explains. Just as a woman can deliver a child after being impregnated by the semen of a man, so material nature can supply the material elements after being glanced upon by Mahavishnu. Therefore, the attempt of the atheistic Sankhya philosophers to consider material nature the source of these elements, forgetting Krishna, is useless. Like trying to get milk from the nipple-like bumps of skin hanging on the neck of a goat. So it might, many times it might appear these philosophies, they are not practically relevant. Like why Prabhupada is taking so much of effort to again and again write this point. Even if you don't refute, it doesn't, one may think like, life is going on, it may be relevant, one may think like. But actually, basically, as I mentioned, this considering material nature as the cause, that means like saying that life comes from chemicals. So when you take God out of the picture, then actually all the morality goes. Because when you know that everything is coming from chemicals and there is no God who is the source of everything, who is actually watching everyone, then a person thinks that, oh, I can do anything and everything, so I will not be punished. So let's say when you take God out of the picture, then even if a person is practicing some moral values, it is only a matter of time that he will become immoral. It is like when a kite is flying, when the thread is cut off, it is just a matter of time when the kite will actually fall down. So the thread is compared to the theism or God. So kite is compared to morality. So morality disconnected from God, it cannot stand. So when you take God out of the picture, then it will appear why we are putting so much effort to say that, oh, life comes from God. Because ultimately the foundation of morality is actually God. Krishna is the foundation of all morality. So basically, if by as we say that we do not practice Krishna consciousness by ignoring morality, and by simply practicing morality, we are not actually practicing, we are not God, we cannot be God conscious. So, we cannot practice Krishna consciousness by ignoring morality. When a person is practicing Krishna consciousness, he is already supposed to be moral. That is like a morality is something like a, if somebody is like in 12th standard, something like he should have passed his 6th standard. So, the person is practicing Krishna consciousness, that means he should be already supposed to be moral. So, we do not practice Krishna consciousness by not practicing morality. And by simply practicing morality, doesn't mean that we are practicing Krishna consciousness. Or we say, we do not worship Krishna, we do not worship Krishna by simply worshipping demigods. And we do not worship Krishna by disrespecting the demigods. That's a similar statement. So this Prabhupada is emphasizing so much that how everything is coming from God, because ultimately that is the foundation of morality. Maya amshe kahi tare nimitta karana sehana he yate karta ketu narayana.
Maya aspect of material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation, but it cannot be the real cause, for the original cause is Lord Narayana.
So 62 to 64 he is just explaining how Maya is only the immediate cause, and ultimately Mahavishnu is the original cause, or Lord Narayana is the original cause. Gatera nimitta hetu yeche kumbhakara taiche jagatera karta purusha avatara.
Just as the original cause of other thought, so the creator of the material world is the first person.
Krishna karta maya sandra karena sahaya gatera karana chakra dandadi upaya.
Lord Krishna is the creator and maya only helps him as an instrument. Just like the potter's wheel and other instruments, which are the instrumental causes of a pot.
So, now from 65 to 70, Kaviraj Goswami explains how the universes are created. Dura haite purusha kare mayate avadana jiva rupa viryatate karena adana.
The first purusha cast his glance at Maya from a distance, and thus he impregnates her with the seed of life in the form of the divinity.
एक अंगा बासे करे माया ते मिलन माया है ते जन्मे तबे ब्रह्मांडे रगन. So the Vedic conclusion is that the cosmic manifestation visible to the eyes is caused by the absolute truth through the exertion of his specific energies. Although in the conclusion of atheistic deliberations, this manifested cosmic manifestation is attributed to material nature. And then Prabhupada, in the rest of the purport, he talks about the three energies of the Lord: marginal energy, spiritual energy, and external energy. He just says that how material energy is not self-sufficient. Material energy becomes the cause of the cosmic manifestation, and she is able to supply the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation only by being empowered by the spiritual energy in the form of the glands of the Supreme Lord. So material energy is not self-sufficient. Only when Krishna inverses spiritual energy into material energy, and then it can act, just as iron can act like fire only when heat is actually, when fire is actually invested in the iron after being heated by the fire. So then another thing which Prabhupada says is that material scientists and philosophers who are conditioned by the material nature, they suppose, they say that material nature, material energy acts automatically. And such theories will ultimately lead to frustration. That is another point which Prabhupada explains. So he says that agitated by the three material qualities, the elements supplied by the material energy produce varieties of things. Just as an artist produces varieties of pictures by mixing three colors, red, yellow and blue. So similarly by the three modes produces varieties of things. So we'll go to the next verse. Agnaya anantayata andasannivesha tatarupe purushakare sabate prakasha.
The purusha enters each and every one of the complex universes. He manifests himself in as many separate forms as there are universes.
Purushana sateya be bahiraya shvasa nishvasa sahitehaya brahmanda prakasha. So, Kaviraj Goswami explains how the Mahavishnu exhales, universes are generated, and when he inhales, the universes go into it. So then he gives two quotations. I say this is like just like some atomic particles, they pass through the openings of a window. So similarly, the network of universes pass through the pores of the skin of the Purusha. So we can actually imagine, I think recently Maharaj was giving a class in Chennai, Bhagavatam class. So he was making this point that how one should actually see the total picture. One should try to see the connection of everything. One should try to see the overall picture. When you see the overall picture, then we actually understand our insignificance. Like sometimes we get caught up in some small problem and that occupies our mind so much. So he was saying, when we understand how we are actually so insignificant, we are in this particular universe, this particular country, in this particular planet, and that planet is actually nothing but one of the planet in the universe, and that universe is the lifespan of that universe is nothing but the one breath of Mahavishnu. Universe is emanating from the one breath of Mahavishnu. So when we see how the actually our existence in this world is actually very temporary, the lifespan is so temporary. When we see the overall picture, our relation with the Supreme Lord, then the problems which we consider, that becomes very insignificant. So here we see just the universe, the lifespan of one universe is nothing but one breath of Mahavishnu. As that Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, said, so Mahavishnu, so many universes are emanating, and in each universe there are so many planets, and out of that there is one planet called Earth, and in that Earth there are so many countries. Out of that one particular country is America, and in America there are so many cities. Out of that one particular city is Los Angeles, and in Los Angeles there are so many buildings. In that there is one particular ISKCON temple is there, and in that he is actually, you are the temple president. But we think, oh, we are so insignificant. So then Kaviraj Goswami gives two quotes in 71 and 72 verses. One quote is from the Brahma Samhita, and the second quote is from Brahmaji's prayers to Krishna in the 10th canto. Yasyai kanishvashita kala matavalambhya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata vishnur mahan saigayasya kalabhisecho.
Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Brahma, the other lord of the mundane world, appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his incarnation. I adore the primal lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a heavenly
portion. Next verse.
Quaham tamo mahadagam kachara nivarbu sambeshitandagata sapta vitastikaya vedhrit vidaviranitanda paranucharya vatadvaroma vivarasya chate mahitvam.
What is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the course of your body, just like particles of dust passing through the opening of your window.
So Prabhupada explains, material scientists should take lessons from the utterances of Sri Brahma regarding our insignificance in comparison to God. In these prayers of Brahma, there is much to learn for those who are falsely puffed up by the accumulation of power.
Amshera amshayai kalataranam govindera pratimurti shri balarama.
Part of the whole is called a kala. Shri Balaram is a counter form of Lord Govinda.
So now from 73 to 91, in these verses, Kaviraj Goswami explains, first thing he explains is Mahavishnu is nothing but the Kala of Balaram. Kala means he is the part of Balaramji. He is not even the direct expansion of Balaramji, he is the part of Mahasankarshan, who is actually the part of Balaram. So first he explains it, and then second thing he explains is this Mahavishnu is the source of all the avatars. From verse number 78 to 84, he says how this Mahavishnu is the source of all the avatars. And who is this Mahavishnu? He is the part of Balaram. And then he says, and this Mahavishnu is in touch with the material energy, but not affected by the material energy. How he is in touch with the material energy, but he is not affected by the material energy? Because he has got Achintya Shakti. By his Achintya Shakti, although he is in touch with the material energy by his glands, but he is not affected by the material energy. So in this way, these are the three concepts which he explains in this 73 to 91. Mahavishnu is the Kala of Balaramji. And then Mahavishnu is the source of all the avatars from 78 to 84. And from 85 to 91 he says, Mahavishnu is in touch with the material energy but is not affected by the material energy by his Achintya Shakti. So we'll just read through the verses.
Tandra Yeka Swarupa Shri Mahasankarshana Tandra Amsha Purushahaya Kalate Ganana.
And his fragment, the Purusha, is counted as a kala, a thought of a plenary portion.
Yaha keta kala kahi tiho Mahavishnu, Mahapurushavatari teho sarvajishnu.
I say that is called his Mahavishnu. He is Mahapurusha, who is the source of the other Purushas and who is all pervading.
So this Mahavishnu is not only the source of all the avatars, he is the source of all the other Purushas.
Garbho Shirodashayi Dohe Purusha Nama Seyu Yandra Amsha Vishnu Vishvadama.
Garbhodashayi and Shirodashayi are both called Purushas. They are plenary portions of Karanodashayi Vishnu, the first Purusha who is abode of all the universes.
So Rupa Goswami, the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, he gives the definition of what is a Purusha. So in the Vishnu Purana it is mentioned, let me offer my reciprocal obeisances unto Purushottam, Lord Krishna, who is always free from the contamination of the six material dualities, and whose plenary expansion Mahavishnu glances over matter to create the cosmic manifestation, who expands himself in various transcendental forms, all of which are one and the same, who is a master of all living entities, who is always free and liberated from the contamination of material energy, and who, when he appears in this material world, seems one of us, although he has an eternally spiritual, blissful transcendental form. In summarizing the statement, Rupa Goswami has concluded that the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts in cooperation with the material energy, is called the Purusha. So Purusha, the definition of Purusha is the plenary expansion of Krishna, who acts in cooperation with the material energy, is called the Purusha. That is the definition of Purusha. So next is the three Purushas, three Vishnus, which are explained in the Vishnu Puran. Vishnostu trini rupani purushakyanyato viduhu ekam tu mahata srashtru vitiyam tvanda samstitam tritiyam sarva bhutastam tani yatva vimuchyate. यद्यपि कहिए तांड्रे कृष्णेर कलाकरी मत्स्यपुर माध्यवतारे रतिहो अवतारी. So now he explains how Mahavishnu is the source of all the incarnation. So now he quotes, I think last week we had discussed, Yete chamsha kala pumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakram lokam vridayanti yuge yuge. So here the word pumsa refers to Mahavishnu, not Krishna. As I mentioned, Yete chamsha kala pumsa. So all these incarnations which I mentioned, Sutta Goswami is saying, they are either Amsha or Kala of Pumsa, Mahavishnu. But Pumsa refers to Purusha. That Purusha is explained in the first verse of that chapter. Jagruke Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibi. So all the incarnations, they actually come from Mahavishnu. So Krishna is not even the source of incarnations. He is actually the source of all the incarnation. So this is the verse which is quoted. Next verse. Sei purusha srishti sthiti pralayera karta nana avatara kare jagatera varta. Srishtyadi nimitteyai amshera avadana seita amshere kagi avataranama.
That fragment of the Supreme Lord, known as the Mahapurusha, answers for the purpose of creation, maintenance and annihilation is called incarnation.
So that Mahapurusha is identical with the personality of Godhead. He is the original incarnation, the seed of all others and the shelter of everything. So now he gives a quote, which is from the second canto, how Mahavishnu is the primary incarnation, who is the source of all the avatars.
Adyovatara purusha parasya kalasvabhava sadasan manasya dravyam vikaro gunayindriyani virat svarat stashnu charishnu bhumna.
Subsequently,
So here Prabhupada explains that the three Purusha avatars, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, they are called as Mayika, because only these Purusha avatars, they have a relationship with Maya. Because Mahavishnu glances over the material energy, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is lying within the material universe, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is also there within the universe. So because they are in contact with the material energy, they are called as Mayika. But of course, although they are in touch with the material energy, but they are never affected by the material energy. That is one point which is explained. Later verses will be saying that incarnation come from Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, that's also. So we can say Kshirodakshaya Vishnu or Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu. Because Mahavishnu is the source of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So Mahavishnu is the source of all the incarnations. As the next verse is quoting this 1.3.1. Jagrhe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibihi Sambhutam Sodashakalam Adav Loka Sisrikshaya.
In the beginning of the creation, God expanded his field in the form of the Purusha incarnation, accompanied by all the ingredients of material creation. First, he created the 16 principal energies suitable for creation. This was for the purpose of manifesting the material universe.
So Prabhupada, in the purport, he gives three quotations from different places. One is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Madhvacharya's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and there is from Baldev Vidya Bhushan's commentary on Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and third is from Jiva Goswami's commentary on Bhagavat Sandarbha, about what are the different energies of the Lord. Because Sambhutam Sodashakalam, Sodashakalam means like Lord created the 16 principal energies suitable for creation. So what are the 16 energies? So Madhvacharya gives a list of 16 energies. Baldev Vidya Bhushan gives a list of 9 energies. Jiva Goswami gives another list. So all these are mentioned by Prabhupada. Yadyapi sarvashraya tiho tahate samsara antaratma rupe tiho jagat adara. Prakriti sahite tandra upaya sambandha tatapi prakriti saha nagis parsha gandha.
Although he is the center of the material, he does not have the slightest contact with
him. So now from the 85th verse, he is explaining how although the Lord is in contact with the material energy, he is not affected by it. So Prabhupada gives a simple example. A person who is actually directing, who is actually supervising the prison house, he may come to the prison house, he may live in the prison house, but still he is not a prisoner. Although he is directing the prison house, he is actually living in the prison house, but he is not a prisoner. So similarly, the three Vishnus, although they are in touch with the material energy, our Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lives in the material universe, but still, they are not affected by it. One may argue that Mahavishnu cannot have any connection with the material qualities. So, one argument people may say that, oh, Mahavishnu, because he is in contact with the material energy, so these three Vishnus are also affected by the material energy. So, for that, Prabhupada gives the example of prison and prisoner. It's like prisoner and the person who is supervising the prison house. And then another argument can be, people may say Mahavishnu cannot have any contact with the material energy, because if he is having contact with the material energy, he will be affected by it. So Mahavishnu cannot have any contact with the material energy, Because if you are so connected, then Srimad Bhagavatam would not state that material nature, ashamed of her thankless task of acting to induce the living entities to become averse to the Supreme Lord, remains behind the Lord in shyness. You know that verse, second canto. Vilajyamanaya yasya hatum iksha pate muyanaga. So one may say that, oh, material energy, Lord Mahavishnu is not having any connection with the material energy. So for that, for this argument, Prabhupada refutes by saying, no, Mahavishnu is in contact with the material energy, but he is not affected by it. He says even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, they are regulators of the material energy, but they are not bound by the material qualities. And especially Lord Vishnu is always the controller of the three qualities. So he says even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they are also not bound by the qualities. But specifically he mentions, because sometimes Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they come under the influence of the modes. But Lord Vishnu specifically is always the controller of the three qualities. There is no question of his coming under their control. So, to support that, he is quoting this verse from the first canto. Etat ishana mishasya prakriti stopi tadgunai na yujyate sadatmaste yata buddhis tadashraya.
This is the opinion of the Lord. Although situated beneath the material nature, is never affected by the modes of nature. Those who have surrendered to him and are fixed their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of nature.
So in this world, this principle is like, in this world, when we get involved in certain activities, we get actually affected by the, we become attached to it, like when a man gives birth to a child. So by that, like when he has a connection with the woman, then he become, it actually becomes the starting point of so many attachments. House, children, and then relatives and bank balance, so many of these things. When we do something, usually we get affected by the different activities, we get affected by the different qualities. But in the case of Supreme Lord, although he is in contact with the material energy, but he is not affected by it. How is he able to do it? By his Achintya Shakti. So that is explained in the next few verses. So you can read till the 92nd verse and then we will take a break. Yei mata gita teha puna puna kaya sarvada ishvara tatva achintya shakti kaya. Amita jagate vasi jagata amate na ami jagate vasi na ama jagate. Just to give a understand through some material example, Krishna himself has given the example in the 9th chapter. Yata kasha stito nityam vayu sarvatra bhumaha. Although the sky rests in the air, but still the sky is not affected by the air. Achintya aishwarya yei janiha amara yeita gitara artha kaila parachara. So that Mahapurusha, Karuna Dakshai Vishnu, is known as a plenary part of him, who is Lord Nityananda Balaram, the favorite associate of Lord Chaitanya. I have thus explained the 9th verse, and now I shall explain the 10th verse. Please listen with rapt attention. So we'll take a small short break and then continue.
All right. Puri.
Puri.
Because it's project day and for this week, and Chaitanya Jagran classes are observed on Thursday and Friday. So all devotees, all the teams should finalize their project. Explained in the future verses, the Sheshanaga has two aspects. See that one is the Lord Ananta. One minute. Yeah, 522nd page. Prabhupada says, there are two features of Sesha. One is the bearer of the globes, all the universes. The other is the bedstead servitor. The Sesha who bears the globes is a potent incarnation of Sankarshan. Therefore, he is sometimes called as Sankarshan. And the bedstead feature of Sesha always presents himself as an eternal servitor of the Lord. One who is holding all the universes, sometimes called a Jiva Tattva. Where? In an empowered incarnation.
Okay, sometimes it's
meant.
Oh, okay. This Prabhupada is quoting based on Laghu Bhagavatamrita. The Sankarshan of the second group of quadruple forms appears as Ram, taking with him Sesha who bears the global spheres.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll start. We'll actually go through fast. So now, Kaviraj Goswami explains the 10th verse. From 93 to 108, he explains the 10th verse actually. This verse yasyam shamsha shila garbo dashayi yannabhyabjam lokasangatanalam lokasrashtu sutika damadatu tam shri nityananda ramam prapadye. So, Mahavishnu, after creating these universes, he entered each of the universes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When he entered the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu could not find a place for staying. So then, from his own perspiration, he manifested the Garbhodaka ocean, filled half the universe with the Garbhodaka ocean. In the Garbhodaka ocean, he rested on the bed of Ananta Shine. He manifested the Vaikuntha as his own abode and rested in the waters on the bed of Lord Sesha. And that Ananta Shine has thousands of heads, thousands of faces. And after resting there, from his navel he manifested the lotus, and from that lotus Lord Brahma was born. So in that lotus stem, Lord Brahma created the 14 planetary systems of the universe. So that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is basically a Amshra of Nityananda Balaram. So that is explained from 94 to 108 verse. We'll just read the verses. Saita Purusha Ananta Brahmananda Srijiya Sabha Ande Praveshila Bhagumurti Hana.
After creating millions of universes, the first Purusha entered into each of them in a separate form as Sri Garbhodakshaya.
Bitare Praveshe Deki Sabha Andhakara Rahite nahi kastana karila vichara.
Since the universe is found only in darkness, with no place in which to reside, thus he began to consist.
Nijanga sveda jala karila srajana, seja le kaila ardha brahmanda varana.
Then he created water from the first creation of his own body, and with that water he half the universe.
Brahmanda pramana pancha shata koti yojana ayama vistara dui haya eka sama.
The universe measures 500 million yojanas. Its length and breadth are one and the same.
Jale bari ardha taha kaila nija vasa ara arde kaila chauda bhuvana prakasha.
After filling half the universe with water, made his own residence there and manifested the 14 walls in the other half.
Tahai prakata haila vaikunta nija dama shesha shayana jale karila vishrama.
There he manifested
अनंतशय्याते ताः करीलशयन सहस्रमस्तकतांड्र सहस्रवदन सहस्रचरणहस्त सहस्रनयन सर्व अवतार बीज जगत कारण तांड्रनाभि पद्म हैते उटील एक पद्म ते पद्मे हैल ब्रह्मार जन्म सद्म So within the stem of the lotus of the 14 worlds, as the Supreme Lord, as Brahma, created the entire creation. And as Lord Vishnu, He maintains the entire world. And Lord Vishnu, being beyond all material attributes, has no touch with the material qualities. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, and the word Sattva Tanu. It is because one of the name of Lord Vishnu is called a Sattva Tanu. Because the reason is because he expands the quality of goodness, therefore he has the name Sattva Tanu. And the multifarious incarnations of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, they are also known as Sattva Tanu. Next verse. Rudra Rupa Dari Kare. Purusha Sukta verse. Here it is mentioned this verse is used, spoken in the Vedas to glorify Ananta. Ananta Shain has thousands of hands. Second candidate is mentioned that he has. Where is it? That Purusha refers to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So here it is explained that this. Maybe some apparent contradiction. I would say like Prabhupada, in one of the later purport, he says that we don't have to argue about I just quote that angle. See, this is one of the he says that those who are aware of the Vishnu Tattvas do not fight over all these details. 527th page in the purport. So I think we can refer to, because in the sense they are all Vishnu Tattvas, so it's all written. Otherwise, if somebody has some other answer, I think they can help. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is sleeping on Ananta, on the bed of Ananta. That Ananta is described as Sahasra Sirsha Purusha. Like the Vishnu form called Ananta Shine has thousands of hands and legs. Acha, you are saying that it does not refer to that Ananta. Hands and legs.
So, word to word is talking about the Lord is sleeping on the
Lord Ananta as a bed.
There lay down.
He lay there with. Word to word translation.
Word to word meaning. Word
is Ananta Shayate on Lord Ananta as a bed.
There lay down the Lord with thousands of hands,
nose, voice. If you can do some research, I don't know. So, from his navel grew a lotus flower which became the birthplace of Lord Brahma. We already discussed 105th verse. Assuming the form of Rudra, he destroys the creation. Thus, creation, maintenance, and destruction are created by his will. He is the super soul, Hiranyagarbha, the cause of the material world. And the universal form is conceived as his expansion. And that Lord Narayan is a part of the plenary part of Lord Nityananda Balaram, who is the source of all incarnations. Dashama shlokera artha kaila vivarana ekadasha shlokera artha shunadiyamana. So he has explained how Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is also a part of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Now the 11th verse describes Kshirodakshaya Vishnu and Sheshanag. Yasya amsha paratma kilana posha Vishnur vati durda vishayi shauni vata yatkala sopyananta tam shri nityananda ramam prapadye. So, from 110 to 116th verse, Kaviraj Goswami explains Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, and 117 to 125th verse he explains Sheshanag, who is the part of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Narayanera Nabinala Madhyete Dharani Garanira Madhye Sapta Samudra Yegani. Taha Kshiro Dadi Madhye Shweta Dvipa Nama Palayita Vishnu Tandra Seini Jadama. So Prabhupada explains how in the Siddhanta Shiromani, seven kinds of oceans which are present in the universe are described. Ocean of salt water, ocean of yogurt, milk, sugarcane juice, sweet water, and ocean of ghee. Sakala jivirati ho hai antaryami jagat palakati ho jagatera swami. So in the purport, Prabhupada gives, two or three quotations about the references for Shweta Dvipa. Laghu Bhagavatamrita gives the following description of the Vishnu Loka within this universe, quoted from the Vishnu Dharmottara. Above Rudra Loka, the planet of Lord Shiva is the planet called Vishnu Loka, 4 lakh miles in circumference, which is inaccessible to any mortal living being. Above that Vishnu Loka and east of the Sumeru Hill, is a golden island called Mahavishnu Loka in the ocean of salt water. Lord Brahma and other demigods sometimes go there to meet Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu lies there with the goddess of fortune, and it is said that during the 4 months of the rainy season, he enjoys his sleeping on the Sheshanaga bed. East of Sumeru is the ocean of milk, in which there is a white city on a white island where the Lord can be seen sitting with his consort, Lakshmiji, on a throne of Sesha. That feature of Vishnu also enjoys sleeping during the 4 months of the rainy season. The Shweta Dvipa in the milk ocean is situated just south of the ocean of salt water. It is calculated that the area of Shweta Dvipa is 2 lakh square miles. This transcendentally beautiful island is decorated with the desire trees to please Lord Vishnu and his consort. So another reference from the 11th canto. My dear Uddhava, you may know that my transcendental form of Vishnu in Shweta Dvipa is identical with me in divinity. Anyone who places the Lord of Shweta Dvipa within his heart can surpass the pangs of the six material tribulations. Thus one can attain his original transcendental form. Next verse. Yuga manvantare dari nana avatara dharma samstapana kare adharma samhara.
In the ages and millenniums of Manu, he appears as different incarnations to establish the principles of real religion and vanquish the principles of irreligion.
Devagane napaya yahara darshana shirodaka tireyai karena stavana. So here it is explained, even the demigods, when they go to offer prayers to Shirodakshaya Vishnu, they are unable to see him, they are only able to hear his sound. So Prabhupada explains in the 10th canto, but even the demigods, they were only, even Lord Brahma, even the demigods, they were not even able to hear, only Lord Brahma actually heard the voice of Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So If Lord Brahma can only hear, but if that Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form, when he comes in this world and makes himself visible to even to ordinary conditioned souls, and when those conditioned souls, when they call Krishna as an ordinary human being, so then it is definitely right on the part of Krishna to call these people as Avajananti Mam Mooda. So Prabhupada says it's actually the demigods, they were not, even the Lord Brahma was only able to hear Lord Vishnu's words. But that Supreme Personality of Godhead comes and makes himself visible to ordinary conditioned souls in this world. So this is the causeless mercy of the Lord on the part of the conditioned soul. And when a person is not able to appreciate that and considers him as an ordinary human being, then it is definitely right on the part of Krishna to call such people as Mooda. So that is the explanation. Tabe avatari kare jagat palana ananta vaibhavatandra nahika ganana.
He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted.
Sei Vishnu hayayandra amsham shera amsha. Sei Prabhu Nityananda Sarva Avatamsa.
Shadow Vishnu is but a thought of a part of a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations.
So now he starts describing Sesha. Sei Vishnu Sesha Rupe Darena Darani Kaha Ache Mahishire Hena Nahi Mujani.
That same Lord Vishnu in the form of Lord Sesha holds the planets upon his heads, although he does not know where they are, for he cannot feel their existence upon his head.
Sahasra Vistirna Yandra Panara Mandala Suryajini Manigana Karejala Mala.
If thousands of extended hoods are adored with dazzling jewels surpassing the sun,
Panchashata Koti Yajana Prithivi Vistara Yandra Yeka Panerahe Sashapa Akara.
Universe which measures 500 million yajanas in diameter rests on one of its roots like a mustard seed.
So, this Sesha, as I mentioned, this Sesha has got, this Sesha is the further support of Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And this Sesha has two features of Sesha. One is the feature of Sesha called as Ananta, who is actually holding all the universes on his head. And he does not even feel the weight of the universe. He does not even feel that he is holding something. And that same, another feature of the Sesha is Lord Ananta Sesha, who is the devotee incarnation of the Supreme Lord and who is actually serving Shirodakshaya Vishnu in the Shweta Dvipa. These are the two features of Seshanag. One is the feature who is holding the universes, another is acting as a devotee of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So basically 117, 118 and 119 described the first feature of Shesha, who is holding all the universes. So Prabhupada gives two quotations in the 119th verse purport, one from the, both from the 5th canto, 5th canto 17th chapter, I think, Jambudvipa, the chapters, no? The same. Prayers offered by, is it one of the deities in the Jambudvipa is Ananta? Lord Sankarshan, okay. Yeah, yeah. Lord Sankarshan, yeah, I think same verse. There's another quotation is from the 25th chapter, the glories of Lord Ananta. Who is holding the universes, yeah.
What is the relationship of Sankarshana and Ananta? The Sankarshana is also the one who
described. Yeah, this Sesha is also called as Sankarshan. In the 22nd page, Prabhupada says, the Sesha who bears the globes is a potent incarnation of Sankarshan, and therefore he is sometimes also called Sankarshan.
Saita Ananta Shesha Bhakta Avatara Ishvare Seva Vina Nahi Jane Hara.
That unshesh is devotee, God is not God. He knows nothing of service to Lord Krishna.
So, in the purport, Prabhupada gives, I think, three quotations. The first quotation from Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha, in which he describes who is the Seshanaga. Sri Anantadev has thousands of faces and is fully independent, always ready to serve the Supreme Personality of God, and he waits upon him constantly. Sankarshan is the first expansion of Vasudev, and because he appears by his own will, he is called Swarat. He is therefore infinite and transcendental to all limits of time and space. He himself appears as a thousand-headed Sesha. The Skanda Puran Ayodhya Mahatmya has explained that Indra is telling to Lakshman, please go to your eternal abode, Vishnu Loka, where your expansion Sesha with the serpentine hoods is also present. After thus dispatching Lakshman to the regions of Patal, Lord Indra returned to his abode. This quotation indicates that the Sankarshan of the quadruple form descends with Lord Ram as Lakshman. Another quotation from Lagu Bhagavatamrita.
Sahasra vadane kare Krishna nama Krishna guna gana Niravadi guna gana Antana hi pana.
The four Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental bliss of love of Godhead. He serves Lord Krishna assuming all the following forms: umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread and throne. And 124th verse explains why is he called Sesha.
Yeta murti beda kari Krishna seva kare Krishnera sheshata pana sheshana madare.
This is called Lord Shesha because he has attained ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna and then serves the Lord.
Seita ananta yandra kahi eka kala kena prabhu nityananda kejane tandra kela.
So one meaning, another meaning of the word is Sesha means that which is left over. Sesha means that which is left over. So in that means everything is for the pleasure of Krishna, and I will take only whatever is left over. So Govindru was explaining in the class that so Lord Balram is called a Sesha. I mean, he accepts only whatever is left over. Whatever Krishna has enjoyed, whatever is left over, he accepts it. So, like if we see the in the future verses, it will be described. Lakshman, Balramji and Nityananda Prabhu. So Lakshman, when he appeared with Lord Ram, he was always loyal to Lord Ram. In so many times, Lakshman was chastised by Lord Ram. Lakshman, he did not want to do something, but he had to obey Lord Ram because he appeared as a younger brother of Lord Ram. He had to go with Lord Ram to the forest. He had to see Lord Ram sleeping in the forest. And then he had to actually take Sita and put her in the ashram of Valmiki Muni. So, but Lakshman could not say anything, although he was like, was pained in his heart, but he had to follow all these orders. So Lakshman was a loyalist in the Ram Leela. But Balramji opposed Krishna in so many pastimes. The first pastime in which Balramji opposed to Krishna is when Krishna eating the Mrugabhakshan Leela. So Balramji took the opposite side. Balramji went and told Mother Yashoda that Krishna ate dirt. And then even in the Damodar Leela, Balramji took the opposite side. And so many pastimes in the marriage of Subhadra, Lakshmana, killing of Rukmini, so many things. So when Krishna actually punished Rukmini that time, Balramji chastised Krishna. Why did you do like that? Later, Balramji actually killed Rukmini, just that Rukmi, but apparently not for a serious reason. So Balramji opposed Krishna in so many ways. But in all that, although he opposed Krishna, so Balramji was like as Govindra said, Lakshman was a loyalist and Balramji was a separatist. Although he acted like a separatist, but in all his pastimes he remained satiated. The essential mood of Balramji is to give pleasure to Krishna. He took the side of Duryodhan. So, but in all these pastimes, he remained satiated. That means, in order to enhance Krishna's pleasure, he acted as a separatist. And as Nityananda Prabhu, he was an extremist. Means like, he went to such extreme degrees of actually giving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to people. Going to the approaching Jagai and Madai, delivering some dacoits and thieves. So although he performed different kinds of pastimes, but all his pastimes he remained satiated. That means like, everything is for the pleasure of Krishna and nothing for me. So when we actually hear this character of Nityananda Prabhu or Balram, as Govindru explained, that for eternity he is serving, for all of eternity he is serving the Supreme Lord without any expectation. So when you actually think about, like, we realize our insignificance actually. We have some expectation or other in our service actually. So somebody will give some reward or some appreciation, or we don't feel like continuing the service for a long time. So maybe after some day service will change us. So but when we hear about Balramji, is this one, but the eternity is serving the Supreme Lord without any expectation. So that is why we need the mercy of Balramji. And Balramji is like the, Prabhupada says, Balramji is like a interception between the Jiva and Krishna. So if there is only Jiva and Krishna, Jiva on his own, he will never approach Krishna. Jiva on his own will never approach Krishna. So Balramji, he is like a medium between Jiva and Krishna. on behalf of Krishna, he actually he approaches the jivas and he brings the jivas so that he can actually engage in the service of Krishna even more. So when Balramji, he looks at Krishna, he is actually thinking of all the jivas. He is thinking of all the living entities. Because he wants, Balramji wants to increase the service of Krishna. He wants to serve Krishna in so many ways. So in order to serve Krishna in so many ways, he actually wants to bring so many living entities. He wants to bring so many living entities for the lotus feet of Krishna. And he wants to engage all of them so that Krishna can be served in more and more ways. So he is looking at Krishna, but when he is looking at Krishna, he is actually thinking of the living entities. He is thinking of the living entities, how I can bring them and engage them in the service of Krishna. So Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, Guru, spiritual master, is actually representative of Balramji. The spiritual master assists Krishna in his internal pastimes, assists Krishna in his pastimes with Srimati Radharani internally. And spiritual master assists Balramji in his service of bringing all the living entities back to Krishna. So in our case, we, Nityananda Prabhu or Balramji, we access Nityananda Prabhu's mercy through the mercy of the spiritual master. Because Guru Tattva is actually represented by Nityananda Prabhu. So we'll read the rest of the verses. Now we'll just complete till the 540th page, the last section will take Damodar 2. Sakasravadane kare Krishna guna gana niravadi guna gana antana hipana. Achha, we have already read it. So till the 125th verse, Kaviraj Goswami explained Sesha. Now from 126th verse, he is saying that, So that person of whom Lord Ananta is a Kala, or part of a plenary portion, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So who therefore can know the pastimes of Lord Nityananda? Now in the 126th verse, Kaviraj Goswami says, from these conclusions, we can know the limit of the truth of Lord Nityananda. But what glory is there in calling him Ananta? So sometimes, so he says that if we call Lord Nityananda as Ananta, it is not the complete glory of Ananta, Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Because Ananta is basically the Seshanaga. This Ananta is the part of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who is the part of Karbodakshaya Vishnu, who is the part of Karnodakshaya Vishnu, who is the part of Sankarshan, and who is the Amsha of Nityananda Prabhu. So if we call this Ananta as Nityananda Prabhu, means like we are not truly glorifying Nityananda Prabhu. So that is why he is saying, what glory is there in calling Nityananda Prabhu as Ananta? Because Nityananda Prabhu is much more than Ananta. His Amsha of the Amsha of the Amsha of the Amsha is actually Ananta. So calling him as Ananta is not actually, it's not a true glory to him. But then Kaviraj Goswami says, Atava Bhaktera Vakya Mani Satya Kari Sakala Sambhavetante Yate Avatari. So he says, but still it is, we can call Lord Nityananda Prabhu as Ananta because it is actually, it has been said by the devotees. Then he says, even sometimes Krishna is called as Vamanadev, Narsingadev, Ram. So he is quoting that. Avatara avatari abheda ye jane purve ye che Krishna ke ke ho kaho kari mane.
Previously, Lord Krishna was regarded in the light of different principles by different people.
Keho kahe Krishna sakshat nara narayana
केहो कहे कृष्ण हय साक्षात वामन केहो कहे कृष्ण क्षीरोदशायी अवतार असंभव नहे सत्य वचन सबार कृष्ण यवे अवतारे सर्वांश आश्रय सर्वांश आसीत वे कृष्णे ते मिलय यही यही रूपे जाने से ताह कहे सकल संभवे कृष्णे किचु मिथ्या न हे So basically Kaviraj Goswami says somebody may call Nityananda Prabhu as Anant. In one sense he is saying it is not the true glory of Nityananda Prabhu. But in another sense he says still it is not wrong because Ananta is there in Nityananda Prabhu. He says like the source of incarnation and the incarnation, there is no difference between the source of incarnation and the incarnation. Krishna is the source of all the incarnation. But still sometimes people may say, oh, Krishna is actually incarnate Shirodakshayi Vishnu. So it is not wrong because one says all these are, they are different candles. They have the equal power to dissipate darkness. So Prabhupada gives example that in this connection, we may mention an incident that took place between two of our sannyasis. So one sannyasi said, the Ram in the Hare Krishna mantra refers to Balram. And another sannyasi is saying the Ram in the Hare Krishna mantra refers to Lord Ram. But Prabhupada says both are right. Because somebody can perceive that Ram as Balram, another is Ram as Lord Ram. So because in Krishna all the incarnations are present, somebody may perceive some particular incarnation in Krishna, somebody may perceive some other incarnation in Krishna. So in that sense there is no wrong. So if someone calls Lord Ramachandra by the vibration Hare Ram, understanding it to mean Lord Ramachandra, he is quite right. So similarly, if one says Hare Ram means Sri Balaram, he is also right. So those who are aware of the Vishnu Tattva do not fight over all these details. Sri Rupa Goswami has explained Krishna's being Kshirodakshaya Vishnu and Narayan in the spiritual sky and expanding in the quadruple forms known as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. He has refuted the idea that Krishna is an incarnation of Narayan. Some devotees think that Narayan is the original personality of God and that Krishna is an incarnation. Even Shankaracharya in his commentary has accepted Narayan as the transcendental personality of God who appeared as Krishna. Therefore, the matter may be difficult to understand. But, so different people they say Krishna is an incarnation of Narayan even according to Shankaracharya. But according to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Krishna is the source of all the incarnations. He says when it is mentioned Akam Sarvasya Prabhava, I am the source of everything, Krishna is saying I am the source of even Lord Narayan. And another verse which Prabhupada quotes is the third canto, Sushanta Rupesh Itaraiswa Rupair Abhyadya Manish Anukampitatma Paravareshu Makadamsha Yukto Kejopi Jato Bhagavan Yathagni. So he gives just a simple analogy. Just like in a fire, blazing fire, there are small sparks and also huge, big, small sparks and big fire and big fire in a blazing fire. The small sparks are compared to the Jiva Tattvas and the big fire in the blazing fire, they are compared to the Vishnu Tattvas. Big spark in the blazing fire, they are compared to the Vishnu Tattvas. So all the incarnations emanate from Krishna. And after the end of their pastime, they again merge with Krishna. Therefore, in the various Puranas, Krishna is described sometimes as Narayan, sometimes as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, sometimes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Because Krishna is always full, Mula Sankarshan is in Krishna. And since all incarnations are manifested from Mula Sankarshan, it should be understood that he can manifest different incarnations by Supreme Will.
The next verse, can read.
Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited to everyone all the pastimes of all the various incarnations.
यही रूप नित्यानंद अनंत प्रकाश सेवा में कहे मुनि चैतन्य रदास सो दिस नित्यानंद प्रभु सो ही सेज दैट सिमिलरली जस्ट लाइक इन कृष्णा ऑल द इनकार्नेशंस आर प्रेजेंट सिमिलरली लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु बिकॉज ही इज नॉन डिफरेंट फ्रॉम कृष्णा He has also exhibited all the pastimes of all the incarnations. And that Nityananda Prabhu is actually calls himself the servant of Lord Chaitanya. And Nityananda Prabhu serves Lord Chaitanya in three moods. Sometimes as a guru, sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as a servant. Just like Balramji also served Krishna in these three moods. Sometimes as a guru, sometimes as a servant, sometimes as a friend. So now from the 136th verse, till the 144th verse, how Balramji served Krishna in these three different moods are explained by Kaviraj Goswami. You can read this verses 136 onwards.
Meaning like Lord Balram fights with Krishna head to head, but sometimes Lord Krishna massages the feet of Lord Balram.
He considers himself a servant and moves Krishna to be his master, that he regards himself as a fragment of his benediction.
Acting just like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls as they fought each other, and they imitated the calls of various animals.
Sometimes, Lord Krishna, similar to Lord Balram, very tired after playing and laying his head on the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna himself served him by massaging his feet.
So next two verses are also quotations of Balramji accepted Krishna as the master. This 140th verse is from Brahma Vimohan Leela, and Balramji saw that how the cows were attracted to the cow, older cows, and the cowherd men were attracted to the old, their grown up children. So Balramji was thinking, she must be the illusory energy of my master. Balramji is accepting Krishna as his master. The next verse is also during that Lakshmana episode when the Kauravas insulted Balramji that you Yadavas are like the shoes. How can the shoe actually climb on the occupy the position of a crown? That time Balramji became angry and then he spoke that verse. Yasyangri Pankaj Rajo Kila Lokapale. So now next verse is 142nd verse. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Vritya Yare Ye Chena Chai Sei Taiche Kare Nritya.
Lord Krishna alone is the supreme control and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them reduce.
So thus Lord Chaitanya is the only controller, all others are his associates as servants. So here then Kaviraj Goswami says, whether elders such as Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Srivast Thakur, or whether his juniors are equals or superiors, all are basically associates who came to help Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled his mission with all of their help. And then he said that Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, they are his plenary parts of the Lord, they are his principal associates. With them, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many pastimes. So, Advaita Acharya is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Advaita Acharya is actually the, according to age also, Advaita Acharya is actually superior to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even from a spiritual point of view also, Advaita Acharya is the God brother of his spiritual master. Means like, he is in the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. But still, Advaita Acharya considered himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always would respect Advaita Acharya as his superior, but Advaita Acharya considered himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya. And I cannot describe the truth of Advaita Acharya. He has delivered the entire world by making Lord Krishna descend.
नित्यानंद स्वरूपे पूर्वे हय लक्ष्मण लघु व्रात हय करे रामेर सेवन। So Nityananda Swarupa it is called, because Swarupa is a brahmachari name, the title of a brahmachari who actually serves under a sannyasi called Tirtha or Ashrama. So because Nityananda Prabhu went with a sannyasi, with that sannyasi's title must be Tirtha or Ashrama. So therefore his name is Nityananda Swarupa. रामेर चरित्र सब दुखेर कारण स्वतंत्र लीलाय दुख सहेन लक्ष्मण। निषेध करीते नारे याते छोटा भाई मौन धरी रहे लक्ष्मण मणे दुख पाई। So when Krishna appeared, Balramji became his elder brother to serve him to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. So Sri Ram and Lakshman, who are plenary portions of the Lord Krishna and Balram respectively, entered into them at the time of Krishna's and Balram's appearance. So according to Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Ram is an incarnation of Vasudev, Lakshman is an incarnation of Sankarshan, Bharat is an incarnation of Pradyumna. When the Padma Puran describes that Ramachandra is Narayan and Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna respectively Shesha, Chakra and Shankar. In the Ram Gita of Skanda Puran, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna have been described as the triple attendants of Lord Ram. In different references, they say different this thing. Sei Amsha Lana Jeshta Kanishta Abhimana Amshamshi Rupe Shastre Karaye Vyakhyana. Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishna
Nara Vatara Karodhu Vaneshu Vindu Krishna Swayam Samavat Paramahumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamangadami.
So Lord Chaitanya is the same Lord Krishna and Lord Nityananda is Lord Balram, and Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. The ocean of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda's glories is infinite and unfathomable. Only by his mercy can I touch even a drop of it. So far till the 157th verse, Kaviraj Goswami has explained the position of Nityananda Prabhu. So now in the rest of the chapter, he will describe that how Nityananda Prabhu was merciful to him. How by his mercy, he actually went to Vrindavan, and how Nityananda Prabhu came in his dream, his pastime of Minikes and Ramadas, he went to Vrindavan and then he started the writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he actually explains his own story of how he is saying that how he made a fallen living being climb to the highest limit by showing mercy. So with this I'll stop here. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki
jai,
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai.
Thank you.
Thank you.